Now we are going to turn to California, keep it in the ground organizing, because on September 12th, Governor Jerry Brown is hosting a global climate action summit in San Francisco. A few days prior, on September 8th, climate justice advocates plan to hold what organizers hope will be the largest climate march in West Coast history. They hope to push the summit participants to take the boldest action possible on the climate. In the interim, they also hope to push Governor Brown to use his remaining days in office to become a global leader on implementing policies to keep California's oil in the ground. As part of that effort, our guest today, Penny Opal Plant, posted this message on Instagram a few days ago, quote, "Zip-tied to a wooden fracking rig at the California State Capitol for Brown's last chance action. As Mother Earth's temperature rises, we must rise more quickly to ensure a healthy and sustainable world." Penny Opal Plant joins us today. Thanks for being with us, Penny.
Good morning, Antonia. It was nice to hear Cherie on your show. She's a good sister.
Well, thank you for being with us as well. You are a member of Idle No More San Francisco Bay and a signatory of the Indigenous Women of the Americas Defending Mother Earth Treaty, as well as a lot more I could say about you in introduction, but I'm sure that you would rather use the time to talk about this organizing. So why were you zip-tied to a faux fracking stand at the state capitol this week?
Well, I think probably as a lot of your listeners know, Jerry Brown is proclaiming himself to be a world climate leader and doing so in a very arrogant fashion, especially given his history of permitting fossil fuel projects, I think more than any other governor in recent history, and increasing offshore oil drilling by 17% and promoting the false solution of cap and trade, which, as you know, we know, or hopefully know, just continues to allow the fossil fuel industry to damage the climate that we need to exist, damage my community here. I see the Chevron refinery every day, and damage all of our relatives' territories from Alaska to down to the Amazon, where our other treaty sisters are, and including Cherie Fointland, who's also a signatory on the Indigenous Women of the Americas Defending Mother Earth Treaty, and Casey Camp Hornick on the Ponca Reservation, where all of their water is poisoned and they can't hunt and fish because of the fracking industry has literally poisoned what they used to eat. And so here we have a governor that is promoting a false solution and getting ready to jump onto the global stage with that false solution of cap and trade. You know, anything that allows the fossil fuel industry to continue moving into the future at this point, when California is on fire, when all the way up through British Columbia, where there are over 200 fires burning in Washington and Oregon and other parts of the world, the fires have reached the Arctic Circle, releasing methane from the melting permafrost. And so we're at a critical crossroads in our history on Mother Earth's belly. And if we put our faith in leaders like Jerry Brown, who are continuing to allow the fossil fuel industry to move forward, then, like I also said, we are not being good ancestors to those to come. Like, it is time for all of us to stand up, do the things that we're not comfortable doing in order to have the courage to speak for those who aren't even born yet, because it's up to people alive right now. We are determining what's going to happen to our grandchildren's great-great-grandchildren. It's critical, you know, that's happening in the world right now with climate and the fossil fuel lobby, which is so powerful and has so much money and has been at these international climate meetings, you know, these negotiations. So it's not like they're hidden in some back room. They are there. And the fossil fuel industry helped Jerry Brown write the AB 398, which is essentially a cap and trade bill, you know. So that's why we are pressuring as powerfully as possible, pressuring Jerry Brown to shift his policy from being in collusion with the fossil fuel industry to start a managed and just transition off of fossil fuels, to lay the groundwork, to stop giving the fossil fuel industry permits, to look at how this can all start to be managed, so that workers in the fossil fuel industry, like the refinery workers here in Richmond, can transition to jobs that are just as well paying, have this, you know, as good benefits that they have now, and can transition out of jobs that cause high rates of cancer for fossil fuel industry workers into jobs that are healthy for them and their families. And Jerry Brown has a chance right now to do that. He has until January to really start to move forward on these types of projects that will literally save the world at this point.
But Penny Appleplant, can we clarify? I hear you attacking the cap and trade program in California, but that's not the only law the state has in its books. It has mandates that the entire power sector become more sustainable over time. That may, this legislative session, go up to 100% renewable mandate. It has similar controls on the vehicles operating in the state, currently under attack by the Trump administration. Like, what specifically do you want the Brown administration to do differently from what California is doing right now?
To rescind their cap and trade rollout. That's very specific.
And then, sorry.
You mean the Air Board's implementation of AB 32, the law that passed under Governor Schwarzenegger?
You know, Governor Brown is working on cap and trade contracts around the world in order to allow the fossil, you know, in a nutshell, what that whole cap and trade program, what any of these carbon trading programs do is allow the fossil fuel industry to continue into the future. That's what they do. The cap and trade contract that the Yurok Nation signed, we were just up there in mid-July speaking with the women. We did a treaty signing, the Indigenous Women of the Americas Defending Mother Earth treaty signing. And those women did not know the implications of cap and trade. So this is the kind of carbon colonialism, that's what we're calling it, that is dividing Indigenous people, where they're looking at how do they protect their forests? How do they protect their sovereignty in this time that we're living in right now that's so critical? So here comes, you know, California State offering them millions and millions of dollars to sign what appears to be a 99-year cap and trade contract with the state of California. And the free and prior informed consent that is in the Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People, it wasn't fulfilled there. So it's a divisive colonial system that is causing harm to Indigenous communities here in California and around the world.
And where is that area, Penny?
That's Yurok, up at the top of Northern California, mm-hmm. the Yurok Rancheria. And there was a woman there who felt very bad because she didn't know what we shared with her about cap and trade, how damaging it is. And Brian just mentioned the Bay Area Air Quality Management District and California Air, you know, CARB. Those institutions, those supposedly regulatory agencies, they do not have our best interest at heart. We have been going to the BACMED meetings for years now with very little success to protect our own community here in the Richmond area and along the refinery corridor. And we have met with the BACMED staff. We've met with a supervisor, John Joya, who recently, just last week, returned from the Alberta tar sands with Jack Broadbent. And I think there was another person on that delegation. And they came back, and within a couple of days, the BACMET staff had permitted Phillips 66 refinery to do their modernization project that will allow over 100 tar sands oil tankers in through the bay. And so, you know, with all of these kinds of mechanisms that that have been put in place under Governor Jerry Brown, they continue to harm not only my community and every refinery community here in California, but also the entire world. As long as we don't have a plan for a managed and just transition, then we are allowing the fossil fuel industry to continue. It really is as simple as that.
Well, Penny, I'm afraid we're going to have to leave it there then, because we are just up at the hour, and with the organizing for the protest march and other events happening around the Global Climate Action Summit in San Francisco, I know sort of the tenor of that is to say Brown can do better, and he has the last days within which to do that before he leaves office. And there is a website, right, where people can go to find out more about that organizing?
Yeah, just Google California Rise for Climate.
Rise for Climate.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, thank you. Sorry.
Thanks, Antonia.
Okay. Our guest today was Penny Opal Plant. She's a founding member of Idle No More San Francisco Bay. She joins us from her home in Richmond. Thank you so much for being with us.